Today we're going to consider our journeys through diverse landscapes. In particular, we're going to do a mindful mapping activity through a local park that you might have experienced before. What I'd like you to do first is to close your eyes. Now, we're going to imagine your journey to a local park, open space, or forest. Consider your favourite location in your local area. What I'd like you to do is to begin by placing your pencil on the page. We're going to draw a line that maps out the route, considering your feelings towards the landmarks along the way. But we're first going to start in your room. I'd like you to think of the first steps that you take in order to get to your front door. Do you go ahead through your bedroom? Do you go down the stairs? Do you have to open the door? Do you have to fiddle with a key? Consider the way you're drawing your line. Is it rocky as you start out of the morning? Try and describe that with your pen. Okay, so we're out the door. Now, I'd like you to think of the route that you take to your green space. Do you go down the road first? Is there any locations that you pass that might be noisy or busy? How would you describe that line? Is it jagged? Or curled? Continue on your journey. I'd like you to think if there are any landmarks along the way. If so, mark these out with a circle. We're about midway through the journey now. I'd like you to think of the next steps. How are we getting to your location? If you turn left or right, mark that out. You should be nearly there now. Are there gates to the entrance of the park? Are these usually busy? I'd like you to go from the macro now to the micro. We've now entered the park. Is there a favourite spot, a bench, or under a tree that you usually sit by? I'd like you to think of the specific journeys. Is the path smaller? Do you remember how many paths there are to get to your spot? Okay, should be nearly there now. I'd like you, as we finalise, to think about that favourite spot that you usually sit in. Can you draw a circle at the end of your journey? We've arrived. In particular, how the landscape stimulates our senses.
When organic leaf first came into possession of this site, they planted an orchard, so these different apple trees that you can see here. I particularly love this space because it's a bit further away from the main building and it feels a little bit more wild.
I aim to make something unique that would shine a spotlight on Himes Park, an area that is particularly underrepresented in arts funding and the general art scene. I grew up in the area, so I'd always go there with my parents or friends and play poo sticks on the bridge at the tip of the lake, or swing on a log above the stream, or go to feed the birds. A lot of my memories there also centre around a tree that is no longer there.
You just have to plan for ephemeral things. Everything's ephemeral.
It also has this amazing oak tree, which I always love to see. The bees are all around the site, and yeah, the reason that we have them is to increase pollination of the crops. And yeah, they will forage all over the site.
And I'm also looking after the Banbury Reservoir, well, the area around the reservoir, sort of a patchwork of lots of used and less used green spaces. By exploring that area by myself a little bit, I really started to love it. It's very beautiful. You have this, if you walk around a bit, you have these little mounds, and when you stand on top of them, you have these beautiful views on the reservoir and the Lee Valley, and across the valley you can see what's happening in Meriden water. So you have this sort of this massive open view that you very rarely have in London. I like to go there actually just after work sometimes to just look at the view.
My name is Michaela Davis. I'm an artist and my project is Great Sailwood. And this is the name from the northern region of the forest surrounding the lake in Hymes Park, and it's believed to date back to the Saxon times and derives from the old name for the willow tree.
I just want to have my little cabin in the marshes, basically. That'd be fine, that'd be great. Just for people to be really happy to live here, and for everyone to be living within, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes from a nice park.
Often like sustenance farming, like people growing food for themselves to eat and their families, which I suppose in, particularly in London, is not such a common practice.
The sun shines on anyone who's ever picked wild fruit. Sorry.
Ecosystems aren't just self-sustaining, they're also self-correcting.
There's a lot of rewilding stuff happening further down the River Lee. How nature is coming back, the bird population is really impressive.
Digging out the turf and then preparing the ground, raking the ground and sowing the seeds. Like scything grass and then taking away the grass because for wildflowers to grow well, they're not very competitive, so they're outcompeted by grass, but they grow well in poor soil.
Mark Brearley, he always calls these things sort of lucky finds. Like you find these things kind of by accident when you work on an area and then you get stuck on it, but for the right reasons. And I think that's sort of one of the things that I got stuck on. I really think this aspect of this open view, and it's almost like a sea view over the reservoir, that's a really, really nice thing to have. And it'd be really nice if we can bring that sort of to the foreground a bit more.
The process of printing cyanotypes is deeply rooted in nature. The printing method itself relies on sunshine and water to develop the prints. I've pretty much turned my house into a cyanotype factory. I've used my wardrobe as a darkroom, hanging the UV light from a string on a shelf, which is held up by a basket with clothes in.
Learning in an embodied way is really important.
I love the hands-on process of it, and for me it makes it feel more personal.
Yeah, being in the garden, practicing people's English skills with them, people are able to apply the words and the language that they're using to the activity that they're doing. It's not a kind of abstract thing in a textbook or at a desk.
I wanted to promote behaviour changes to protect our green spaces and increase the awareness of the natural world and appreciate what we have around us and draw awareness for the magical fungi and trees, such as the 400-year-old hornbeam tree, and wildlife and birds, including parakeets and swans, and promote this already existing beauty to highlight what we could lose.
It's a challenge to bring the landscape back into the city.
This project is a slow process, linking to the idea of slow living as practice to help the environment.
It's much more effective to learn while you're doing.
I'm a big encourager of being resourceful and working with what you have.
Think now in your mind, if you were going to call a landscape to mind, what would that landscape be?
Weed.
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 Erva.
Trava.
Weed is a word that I'm always teaching people. What a weed is, I find quite interesting, actually, talking with people who are learning English about that word, and because it makes you think, well, what does the word weed mean? It means like a unwanted plant or a bad plant or a, you know, plant that's not useful or that you can't eat. And often these things are not true. Most weeds are useful plants, medicinal plants, edible plants. Yeah, so for us organically, we tend to talk about weeds as plants, like in the wrong place. Bed.
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 Kama.
Grzątka.
I was teaching someone in the class a couple of weeks ago about what a vegetable bed was, and it's always whenever you're trying to teach another person English, you learn loads of stuff about your language, which is quite revealing. So I'd never really thought about the fact that we call vegetable beds beds, like the place where we sleep, and that it was sort of like the place where vegetables go to sleep or something. I thought it was quite cute and funny.
Encourage people to find community and strength in nature.
There's something about like plants and people working together.
Working with the landscape rather than working against it.
Comparing like the different things you can grow and the different ways you might grow and the traditions is like a really good learning process for us and for them.
I see a luscious landscape.
A luscious landscape, I love it.
Putting your hands in the soil wherever you are on the planet is like a positive and like enriching thing to do, I think, and like, yeah, grounding. The idea of being grounded in a place, I think working in the soil of a place helps you feel grounded in like a really literal and, yeah, very obviously poetic way that I don't need to describe, but...
Sun shines on anyone who has ever been to the gallery.
Yeah.
What?
That's me.